And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today we're going to have Secrets, Volume 233. Well, I've got so much news for you, and it's just absolutely incredible. You know, things come in a flood, don't they? You know, the Bible talks about a flood of evil in the last days. But it does say that when the flood comes, God always raises up a standard. You know, it's like a small ship in the midst of a huge sea that's erupted in a gigantic tsunami. But the little boat, you know, with a Christian aboard, he's got the banner of truth and he keeps on going. And that's what we do here at Power of Prophecy. I've always been amazed at the lies our government tells us. Absolute fictitious nonsense lies. They've been doing it all my life, and from my research, they've been doing it for, well, over 100 years, certainly. We're now, you know, moving right into the 21st century. But they've been going at this big time since about 1913, when they really began to gallop off, jump on the old globalism horse and take off. Well, you know, I see the candidates for president, and I just can't believe that the American voters waste their time with a lot of these folks. We're going to talk about Ted Cruz. You know, I've already exposed the fact that the guy is a gay man. Let me say that again. In my opinion, and I have reason for saying this, Ted Cruz is queer as a $3 bill. That's pretty queer, isn't it? Now, you may say, no, that can't be true. He's married to this very nice, pleasant blonde, and he's got kids, and I'm sorry to tell you, friends, Ted Cruz is queer as a $3 bill. It won't be the first president that we've had that's queer if he's voted in, but I don't see why people can't understand it. You know, now I don't believe in using vulgarity, but somebody at one of the Donald Trump rallies up in New Hampshire recently, As Donald Trump was trying to speak, she kept screaming out, forgive me for using this word, but that's what she used. She kept screaming out from the audience, Ted Cruz is a, well, P-U-S-S-Y. And finally, Donald Trump saw that, and he has a way of revealing things and making it look like he really didn't reveal things. You know what I mean? Someone has said that he really has given us great examples of the First Amendment freedom of speech, because he says whatever is in his mind. Now, I don't appreciate the vulgarity, but he noticed a woman was saying this horrible thing, and he said, just a minute, what did you just say? And she said it again. And then Trump said, oh, no, you can't say that. Don't say that. He said she was saying that Ted Cruz is a, and he repeated what she said. He said, don't say that. You know, like that's coarse, that's vulgar. Don't say that. But of course, Trump had already brought attention to it. He was pointing out what she was saying. That was his way of saying, you folks don't know it, but Ted Cruz is a queer, is a homosexual. You know, Trump is just very ingenious how he puts, but he can say, I didn't say it. This woman here, she said it. And I told her not to say it again, not at my rallies. Well, Ted Cruz, you know, went to New York, and he went to a secret meeting. Now, you didn't go there. I didn't get the invitation, of course. And even the media weren't invited, but he met with 10 flaming homosexual Jewish billionaires, told them what he's going to do for Israel. That's the big thing, you know. What are you going to do for Israel? That's what these Jewish billionaires want to know. They don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. The Jews have put people as Democrats and Republicans, And then they try to control both parties. You know, 35, 40 years ago, they didn't control the Republican Party. They only controlled the Democrats. So they said, we've got to do something about this. We've got to put our people into the Republican Party. So they created the category of neocons. You've heard of neoconservatives. Neo, new conservatives. Now, what is a neocon? Well, it's actually a Marxist socialist who pretends to be Republican. That's why the Republican Party has changed. The Republican Party, the days of Goldwater, and a little bit in Reagan, not much, were conservatives. But then the neocons came in and took over the conservative party, which is Republicans. And they pretend to be, of course, conservative. But it's just so they can run that party. We only have one party in America. It's the Jew party. Everybody knows that. It's the war party. It's the Wall Street banker, Federal Reserve party. Of course, it's owned by the Jews. They have their own magazines, of course. Weekly Standard is one, run by the guy whose father was a big Marxist socialist, Irving Kristol. His son, I forget his first name now. What does it matter? Kristol. You see Kristol on TV, head of Weekly Standard. That's just a neocon. Really, it's a communist magazine. And they say, I'm Republican. I'm conservative. They're neocons. National Review. And they have all these reporters, most of them Jews. And they're all just, you know, that's amazing. Now, Ted Cruz is one of these people. Now, he and his dad say they're Baptist. But really what they are is communist. Of course, his dad said, I used to be communist. I used to believe in Fidel Castro, but then I decided communism was wrong. And so I rebelled against it and came to Canada to live. Oh, yeah. That's what a lot of the, that's the way they get started in America, you see. They come over and they claim to be conservative or whatever. I used to be a communist, but now I see that communism is wrong. Oh, yeah, sure. They're still commies. Now, Ted Cruz, his wife, Heidi, you see, they looked at Ted Cruz and said, we've got to manufacture you. We've got to create an image. Reality is not important. It's perception. What do people perceive in you? Now, they knew that anger was beginning to build up in people. You see, we had John Boehner. We got rid of him as House Speaker. McConnell, and of course, it's Paul Ryan. He says he'll do different. And of course, they're no more than yes men to the Jews. And the Jews told him, you get with Obama and do whatever he says you for you to do. And that's what they're doing. Whatever Obama wants you to do, you do it. They, yes, sir. How high do we jump? I'm your little froggy. Whatever. I'll jump as high as you want. That's what Paul Ryan and McConnell are doing. Now, they're going to be richly rewarded for it. Don't get me wrong. I suppose 99 out of 100 Americans would do it, too. You want Obamacare? You got it. Big insurance companies, all that one. You know, the Chamber of Commerce wants all these Mexicans in. Cheap labor? You got it. The Democrats and the communists, the socialists, they all want the Mexicans and the foreigners in, too, because they're going to skew the vote. Friends, there's 35 to 40, probably 50 million illegal aliens in America right now. Think about that. Now, Romney lost by 5 million votes last time, just 5 million. But if you give 30, 40, 50 million illegal aliens citizenship in America and they vote, you only need 5 million. They know that this is going to permanently change America. It will never vote the same way again. There will never be a conservative. See, the Republicans are getting sort of sick. The neocons, they're so sick of the people like Tex Mars and you, friends. They're sick of the tea parties. They went out and began a bunch of tea parties of their own. Fake tea parties. They're everywhere. You go out and join a tea party, watch out. Watch out. It could be a bunch of liberal Democrats, but they claim they're tea parties. Now, Ted Cruz, I'll tell you some more about Ted Cruz. It's amazing. We're going to talk about Ted Cruz. We're going to talk about Bin Laden. Oh, yes, Bin Laden is back. Hey, Tomorrowland, tomorrow and tomorrow. What's that song? You know, the Broadway song. I forget what it goes. But anyway, there's a Tomorrowland festival. It's like nothing you've ever seen. It's the biggest satanic festival in the world. Over 200,000 Satan worshipers all get together. How would you like to be amongst 200,000 Satan worshipers? And there's probably 100,000 that can't even get in. There's so many. They're just dying to get in. They're crushing. That's how many want to go to this satanic festival. Now, we'll talk about Bernie Sanders. You know about Bernie, get the burn, you know, Bernie Sanders. He wants Soviet-style government here. When he won in New Hampshire, he gave a speech, and it was almost as if he was saying, you know, I accept your dishonor. I'm president now. Hey, it's only one primary, Bernie, but but he knows that Hillary, if she is indicted, they'll take her hand and they go, you're a bad, bad girl, Hillary. Now, don't do it again. She'll say, okay, it was just a mistake on my part. And she'll go on and she'll be the nominee for the Democrats. I'll tell you why I believe that in a little bit. Then we're going to go over to Germany. Seems there's a Jew woman named Annette Kahan. She was with the East German Stasi party. That's the similar to the Nazi party, the communist that ran East Germany before the wall fell, the Berlin Wall. She's upset at German citizens who don't like the migrants coming in. The million, over a million came in last year, and they say that 10 million are now massing and they're ready to assault Europe. And the agents of Israel and the United States are bringing these millions of Muslims in from Iraq and from Syria, and they're bringing them over to Turkey, and they literally have camps set up. And what they're doing is processing these people and sending them on to Europe or to America. It's amazing. They've got 10 million more. They want to change the world. This is the movement of our lifetime, friends. I'm here to tell you about it. They're going to do it. It was all agreed to at the Bilderbergers meeting in the World Economic Forum at Davos, Switzerland. It was agreed the elite of the world decided to do this. They decided they were going to bring all these migrants over and America would change. The vote would change. And the migrants would never be able to assimilate, but they don't want them to assimilate. They want to change the culture of America and they want to destabilize our nation. And if women are raped, we'll just shut up and take it, women. Over 600 women were raped and molested in one city, Cologne. In one night, recently. One night, 600 German women were raped and molested by migrants, by Arabs, all these immigrants that came in there. You would have thought the police would have been out in droves to arrest, but they only arrested one guy, one Arab. 600 women raped and molested, they only arrested one guy. And they say they don't have enough evidence to hold him, and they let him go. Unbelievable. But now the German government says we will not allow any more complaints about the Muslims. If you complain, you might end up in jail, in prison. So if you're walking, it's like New York City. It's a big festival downtown, Christmas or whatever, New Year's. And some Arab guys pull you off into an alleyway and rape you and beat you. And you have to go to the hospital. Don't tell the police about it. If you do, you might end up in prison yourself. For being prejudiced. You see, that's what they have in Germany. Laws against prejudice. You can't complain. That'll show your prejudice. You say, but I was raped. They'll say, well, how did you dress? Well, I had a skirt on. It was all the way almost down, you know, halfway past my knee. Well, next time wear pants. It's your fault for being raped. Huh? Meanwhile, in Phoenix, Arizona, the city council has voted to allow a group of Satanists to have the opening prayer. You know, they had a different pastor come in each week, and he would open the prayer. They'd have a Methodist, a Lutheran, a Baptist, etc. Well, the Satanists said, we want to get in on this too. We want to say the prayer. And the mayor said, well, that's good. Let's have diversity. But you see, Satanists believe in chaos, death, torture, all kind of horrible things. Well, that's diversity. Let's let them come in and pray. But they're not going to pray for good things to happen to Arizona and to Phoenix. They're going to pray for evil to come, for Satan to come. Well, we have to do it for diversity's sake. That's what America's all about, isn't it? Diversity. Oh, boy. Let's talk about some of these things, friends. I mean, you know, America is changing. These things, I'm telling you, I've told you before, and I believe it with all my heart. Secede is the only way out for us. To secede. We need our own nation, folks. I don't care if it's desert. Maybe up in Utah somewhere, up in Arizona. I mean, if they gave me the Grand Canyon, I'd take it. Live down there on the river. Way deep below. Just get off our backs, government. They can take me up here to West Texas, where you drive for 500 or 600 miles and you don't even see a rabbit. Don't even see a deer. In fact, you don't see anything but little bitty plants sticking up out of the sand. I'd go there and live to get away from the government on our back, to get away from the Satanist. Because in my new country, in your new country, I would not allow immigration by Satanist. And if they were in my country and they became a Satanist, they would be deported. I would not allow Muslims in. I'm not going to allow Muslims to come in and rape our women, molest our young girls. Hey, in Norway, they raped a 10-year-old boy. And a welfare worker went out to the camp where the migrants were staying. She wants to help them. She's a welfare worker. They raped her, too. So they've made a rule from now on, you know, welfare workers have to be accompanied by a male. Imagine, you want to help them. You're a welfare worker. You want to make sure they're getting all their food and all that stuff. You go out there and they rape you. They're Muslims. That's what Muslims do. Muslims say that God gave them European women to rape because they have sex needs. Jesus didn't even have a wife. He didn't have a wife. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He says the foxes have a place. They go in holes, but the Son of God, he didn't have any place to even live. It rained. Well, it rained on Jesus. They were out in the wild. And John the Baptist, too. He didn't have a place to, he didn't have a sumptuous mansion to live in. But the Muslims, think about Muhammad. Come on, folks. There was a 9-year-old Muslim girl. He liked what she looked like. He said, she's going to be my wife. But she was already married because they married at 6 years old as Muslims. And he told her husband, she's going to be my wife. Allah gave her to me. But if you don't like it, you can die. Well, he didn't want to die, so sure, you can have my wife. 9 years old. But he had a number of wives. That's what these fakers, these monsters do. That's what Joseph Smith, the Mormon, I think he had 39 different wives. Many of them were the wives of other men. But he went to them and got them to sleep with him, and then he said, you know, God told me you're going to be my wife. You need to leave your husband. A fake religionist. Friends, the difference between Christianity and these fake religions such as Judaism, Mormonism, Islam is between night and day, I promise you. I'm so proud to be a Christian. I'm so proud that I'm not I can't imagine these Muslims saying, God gave us these Western women to rape because we have our sex needs, you know, as Muslims. So he put us here in this country where there are all these women that dress sort of, you know, loose, and they're put here for us to rape. That's what some of these Muslim men are saying. They said, it's not my fault. You can't put me in jail for raping. I'm a Muslim man. That's what we do. Of course it is. And that they're right. That's what they do. You know, some folks in the U.S. Army got in trouble over in Afghanistan. On the U.S. Army base there near Kandahar in Afghanistan, they had a commander who was Afghani, the Afghani commander. And he was a pedophile, and he had these young boys, and he'd take them and do terrible sexual things to them. And night after night, this major and this sergeant in the U.S. Army would hear the young boys screaming. And they saw what was going on. They would go pick up young boys off the street and bring them into this Afghani commander, right on the base, right on the U.S. Army base. And he would take these young boys in, and he would rape them. And they would hear the young boys screaming until finally they couldn't take it anymore. They got their guns, and they went, and they busted into the Afghani's living quarters. And there they caught him right in there with a couple of young boys. He was raping them. They saw it with their own eyes. He told them, get out. You have no right to be here. They said, what do you mean? You're raping this boy. You're a pedophile. You know, you're under arrest. He said, you can't arrest me. I'm Afghani. They said, we're going to do it. And he said, and you can't take that boy away from me. I want him. And then he started fighting him. And they just held him down, beat the dickens out of him. That's the way it happens. They were good Americans. They were Christians. They could see what he was doing, and it was wrong. And they said, we're not going to be part of this. This is the U.S. Army base. The problem is those two guys, the major and the sergeant, were sent back to the United States, and they were told, we're going to court-martial you because you stopped the guy from raping those kids. Huh? Obama. That's Obama's policy. You got to let the Afghanis rape the kids. You got to let the pedophiles have the kids if they want them. Obama is a sick, sick man. Boy. Now, Ted Cruz. Let's go back to Ted Cruz. His campaign manager is a man named Chad Sweet. Who is Chad Sweet? Why did he become the campaign manager for Ted Cruz? Well, Chad Sweet is one of the vice presidents of Morgan Stanley Bank. Think about that, folks. He's Morgan Stanley Bank. He's the campaign manager for Ted Cruz. Not only that, he's head of the Chertoff Group. He's vice president of Morgan Stanley Bank, and he's the head of the Chertoff Security Group. Who is Chertoff? He was the Jew that headed up the Homeland Security under George W. Bush. Now you're getting the picture? And of course, Ted Cruz was in the George Bush administration. He worked for George W. Bush. What did he do? Well, one of the things he did was to choose lawyers for the federal bench. He was the guy, Ted Cruz, who gave us the queer John Roberts. And John Roberts gave us Obamacare. The vote was 5-4. It carried because John Roberts gave us Obamacare. And not only that, the vote for same-sex marriage was 5-4. And who voted for that? Well, that was John Roberts, the queer. And who chose John Roberts for the Supreme Court? Who went into the Oval Office and told George W. Bush, this is the guy we need? Well, that was Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz put a homosexual, made him Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and that homosexual has given us Obamacare and has given us same-sex marriage. So Ted Cruz has given the United States Obamacare and same-sex marriage. Ted Cruz is a queer. Ted Cruz is an evil, evil, evil man. Is terrible. And they're all working together as a bunch. They're like a nest of homosexual monsters and bankers. Chad Sweet of Morgan Stanley Bank. Of course, Heidi Cruz, Ted's wife, so-called wife, why, who does she work for? Well, that would be Goldman Sachs Bank. She still works for Goldman Sachs Bank. She's just taking a leave of absence right now while she's working for her husband's campaign. Did you get that? She's the wealth advisor for Goldman Sachs Bank. Well, you know, in 2012, when Cruz ran for U.S. Senator, he needed money. No problem. Goldman Sachs Bank arranged for him to get a $1 million loan. Goldman Sachs. Oh, yes. I've told you about Goldman Sachs. I've told you about Lloyd Blankfein, the Jew who is head of Goldman Sachs. He was asked about some of his crooked dealings at Goldman Sachs Bank, and he said, I work for God. That's what he said. Lloyd Blankfein said, I work for God. What God was he talking about? Well, that would be the Jewish God, wouldn't it? That would be the Holy Serpent. Now, Tex, you're making that up. You know, it's like saying, you know, somebody's evil or sinful. He must have the holy serpent of this God. No. I'm not making it up. I've got an entire book, over 400 pages coming out. It'll be out, let's say, 1 April. You look for it. It's entitled Holy Serpent of the Jews. Oh, yes. I found out who they worship. I've got all the rabbis there. They're admitting who they worship. All of the top rabbis are saying, yes, we do worship Satan. He is our Messiah. He is going to exalt us to become the rulers of planet Earth. We're going to kill all the Gentiles. They're saying it, folks. They don't want to tell you to your face, but they're telling each other about it. And I have found it out. I've discovered they worship the Holy Serpent. That's who Ted Cruz. Look at him. He looks like a serpent. He's evil. He seems like a saint. He seems like a good Southern Baptist boy. He goes out and he went to Liberty University and preached and said, oh, yes, I'm your candidate. I want the evangelicals to vote for me. Oh, my. Stay away from that man. Stay away from Ted Cruz. I'm telling you. Now, another guy that's fakey is old David Petraeus. You know, the guy that was a big hero in the Iraqi war. He killed so many Iraqis and all that. And he was a great man. Well, you see where it's led us now. Because now the Iraq is the headquarters of the caliphate. The Islamic caliphate. But why did he get booted out? Well, you see, he was such a great war general that Obama made him the head of the CIA, General Petraeus, head of the CIA. But then it came out that he had an affair with a woman, and she would go visit him in his office, and they would have sex under his desk. Must have been a little uncomfortable. That's where he had sex with her, under his desk. And he gave her 8 volumes of top secret classified information so she could write a book about his life. Boy, isn't that a bunch of baloney? He gave her 8 volumes of top secret information so that she could write a book about his life. Meanwhile, he was having sex with her under his desk. Meanwhile, he was married, fiddling around on his wife. Well, they gave him a trial for taking the secret information and giving it to this woman, his mistress. And boy, they ever punished him. Oh, you're a bad boy. Here, give us your wrist. Bad boy. Bad boy, bad boy, what you gonna do when the cops come for you? That's what they did to the guy. They slapped him on the wrist, and he's out. Well, he's shamed. Nobody will give him a job. Oh, nobody? How about the Council on Foreign Relations? I'm here to tell you today that former General David Petraeus, working at the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, with the former World Bank head, Robert Zelick, the Jew, the head of the World Bank for Clinton, they put out a report. It's called the Council on Foreign Relations North America. Time for a new focus. They say it's time. It's time for America to end its isolation. It's time for America to drop its borders and have no borders anymore. It's time for us to become the North American Union. That's General Petraeus, a traitor. And, of course, Robert Zelick, former head of the World Bank. That's what the CFR is doing now. The previous report that they had put out was called Building a North American Community. It had 8 co-authors, and one of them happened to be Heidi Cruz. She wrote the report. She was co-author of the report, Building a North American Community. That's what they want, end American sovereignty. They want to put the Supreme Court under the North American Tribunal. Oh, yes. Our president will be a committee of 3 presidents, the president of Mexico, the prime minister of Canada, and our president. It'll be a committee. Ending the sovereignty of America. That's what the CFR General Petraeus wants to do. Ted Cruz, he's right in there. He's a serpent. He's a dirty, filthy, homosexual serpent. Am I going to get in trouble for saying that? I might. I might lose my life. I might go on to be with Jesus. That might be a pretty good thing. I'm ready for it. And I'll be right back, folks, right after this brief message. Hello, folks. I'm Tex Mars. You know, my newest book is entitled Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. They've gone berserk. They really have. I've written this book so you will know the state of the church establishment today. This is the establishment. I have true stories in here about all three of the recent popes, Pope John Paul II, and of course, the German Pope, and now the Argentinian Jesuit Pope, Pope Francis. You'll learn about all of them. You'll also learn about Billy Graham. He's in this book. Rick Warren, America's pastor and from California, he's in this book. Even Smiley Joel Osteen, he's in this book too. It seems that I've been able to get all of them in this book. And they're all berserk. They're all crazy. They're all nuts. Now, that is, unless I'm crazy. Maybe I am, you see, because we've been here for over 30 years in this ministry, and I still believe the way I did the day I got here. I still go to the Bible, and I believe the same things. And people, they say, well, Tex, you sure are old-fashioned. You haven't changed your thinking or your ways. You haven't changed your doctrines in over 30 years. Oh, you're so old-fashioned. Well, I suppose I am. You know, if you followed this ministry for, 10, 20, 30 years, you didn't have to every so many years learn a whole new doctrine, did you? I know a wonderful couple, friend of mine, a man and woman, and they were going to an Episcopal church, and the Episcopal pastor went to New Mexico for a retreat, they called it. A retreat, a religious retreat. He came back after about a week, and he got up in the pulpit and said, I'm going to change everything I've been doing. I learned something new at this retreat, and it has changed my life. Well, they thought, that's good, that's good. What is he going to tell us? What are we going to do as a church? He said, I learned that Jesus had a shadow. Yes, Jesus was a good man, but he had a shadow. And he had to follow that shadow. So he was a combination of good and evil. And I, too, as your pastor, I have a shadow. I'm a combination of good and evil. And you, too, have a shadow. And we need to get acquainted with our shadows. Learn about them. Get to know our shadows. We can only be true people of God if we're a combination of good and evil. And so today's sermon is about follow your shadow. Well, my friends said that was too much for them. They'd seen other evidences, but this too much. Their pastor went off to a retreat and came back and said, I learned about shadows. Well, they left that church quick. But the rest of the people just sat there in the pews. They asked their friends about it. Other church members, what do you think about the sermon? It sounds so entertaining, they said. It sounds so interesting. I can't wait for next week. But you see, my friends, this couple, they wanted the old. They wanted the landmarks of the church. They wanted to know what Jesus, the apostles, had to say. And you know, the only shadow they found was the satanic shadow. And Jesus said, there is none of me in Satan. None of me. He told the Jews, you are of your father, the devil. James said, don't be double-minded. Think about that. That pastor was double-minded. Introducing Satan into the audience, claiming we need to get in touch with our shadow. But this book has dozens of stories like that. True stories. Folks, the establishment is evil, and it has gone totally bonkers. Now, I want you to get this book so you can prove it to your friends and neighbors. But don't be surprised. Somebody you've been going to church with for 10, 20, 30 years turns around and says, well, I don't see anything wrong with what these people are doing. I think it's okay. Uh-huh. Then you'll know you've been going to the wrong church. You've been going to a satanic church. You need to get out of that church. But it's so hard to find a church now. That's why we have begun Bible Home Church. Bible Home Church, wherever you're at, you listen to us on the radio any time of week, Saturday, Sunday, whenever you want to listen to a good Christian message, maybe some songs and prayer, you tune in to Bible Home Church. It's right online there. Just type in, Bible Home Church and click it up and go to it. And you can listen to it anytime you want to. We even have an archive of past messages. Say, well, Tex spoke on this subject or spoke on that subject. We have an archive with dozens of sermons I've given. Why? Because the establishment has gone bonkers. Now, Jesus said that the very gates of hell cannot stand against his church. Now that's true. I believe we are smashing the gates of hell. We are. That's what we do around here. I love it too. I love it. I love it when a person writes to me and says, Tex, I'm not going to put up with this nonsense. I'm going to stick with the old landmarks of the faith. Good for you. I'm not going to go for all this nonsense. I'm going to stick with Jesus. There you go. That's it. There's your ticket. You'll be a lot happier. You'll have fun in your life. I'm overjoyed every day of my life. I wake up in the mornings. I can't wait to get busy that day. You know? I don't even like to eat breakfast because I want to get to work. Get busy for God. You say, well, I've got a job to do. I've got to go. I'm a mechanic. I'm a lawyer. I'm a, you know, a carpenter. I'm an office worker. Well, good. You can serve God doing that. You can even pray at work. Oh, no, no. They'd get rid of me if I did that. Well, they can't stop you. You're sitting at your desk there. Just say a simple prayer to yourself and to God. Any time of day. They can't stop you. Bring God into your office. That's the way you do it. Well, if I mentioned the name of God, well, they would kick me out in a minute. Well, maybe they would, but that doesn't stop you from calling on him, talking to him during the day. Now, if you do it overtly, maybe they'll say you're nuts or something. I don't know, but have fun. I mean, just you're going to have fun. Well, the book, Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. $22 at $5 shipping and handling, $27 for the book, Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. Remember, it's the establishment I'm reporting on, not the Christian church. No, 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 not the church. Not the churches, yes, but not the church. We're stable. We're strong. We're standing up. We've lifted high our banner. We're Christians. We believe in Jesus. All right. How to get the book? Write us here at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can go to our website. That's powerofprophecy.com or texmars.com. Let's see how else can they get it, Jerry. Oh, yeah. Call us on the phone. Sure. Anytime during the work week, call up. 1-800, it's a toll-free number, 1-800-234-9673. And get the book, Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. All right, we return now to our radio program. This is a volume of secrets. We talk about all kinds of things, don't we? You don't think, you're not going to hear these kind of things on your other radio programs. You're not going to be able to turn on Fox News or ABC or MSNBC and hear these things. For example, did you know there's an Arab sheikh and he's with a group called the Bin Laden Group? Yeah, it's Osama Bin Laden's family. They're billionaires, all of them, this Arab sheikh and Bin Laden. And they've come to the United States and they bought up hundreds of acres of land in Buford, Wyoming. Now, what are they doing in Wyoming? It's beautiful land up there. Now, this Arab sheikh and the Bin Laden Group, it bought it up. They're going to build a Mecca of the West. You know, like Mecca in Saudi Arabia? And every Muslim thinks they have to go there at least once in their lifetime to have a pilgrimage. Now there's going to be a Mecca number two, I guess. A Mecca two in the West. Mecca of the West. And they are going to invite millions of Muslims to come here to the United States every year to visit. To visit this Mecca. And they're going to build a giant mosque or temple to Muhammad and Allah right there in Wyoming, right there in the middle of America almost. Think about it. Folks, I don't want a Mecca of the West in Wyoming. Do you? Goodness gracious. Aren't you just going to enjoy all these millions of Muslims coming here every year? Millions of Muslims into America to see the Mecca? What idiots in Wyoming sold these people this land? Well, anyway. Hey, you know, I've discovered something. I've been studying, and I found that very rich Jews, I actually got the newspaper articles. They declared war on Germany, and they began 5 years before World War II erupted. 5 years before World War II erupted. In January of 1934 was the first newspaper article. And the top Jews in the world declared war on Germany. Well, Germany had not yet invaded Poland. That was in 1939. This was 5 years before that. The Jews were determined to destroy Hitler in Germany. And 5 years before World War II began, they said, we're in a war. Boy. And they said, we're eventually going to bring in Britain and the United States into this war. And they did. Meanwhile, over in Europe every year now, they have a huge festival. Now, I stumbled onto this festival. I was on YouTube getting something else. And suddenly there was this video. It says, Welcome to Tomorrowland. And I clicked on, I watched the video. It was 10 minutes commercial for Tomorrowland. And they've had these festivals every year for several years now. I didn't even know what was going on. The first one, they invited 120,000 Satanists. Well, they didn't say they were Satanists, but that's what they were in my mind. And this is held over in Belgium or someplace in Europe every year. I understand that last year they had one here in the United States. But the Tomorrowland Festival, and I wanted to watch it, and they spend millions of dollars for the special effects. And you think it's like Satan has come down to earth. Oh, big booming, buzzing, you know, laser lights flashing every which way. And there are over 200,000 people there. And it's out in the open air. You think Woodstock was bad with all those hippies? This is unbelievable. And there they all are holding their hands up and swaying back and forth. Oh, and honestly, it is incredible. Now, it lasts for several days. And I think it cost $350 to get in. That was last year's rate. They give you a bracelet. You have to wear this electronic bracelet. And it identifies you that you've paid. $350 to get in. Now, if you're from the United States or Asia or somewhere, you have to fly all the way over to Europe to it. Then you have to pay $350 to get in. People don't mind that. They're paying it. They had over 200,000 last year, and they had to turn away over 100,000. They didn't have room for them. And they had this huge screen up, this gigantic screen, and they were showing this satanic symbols and all that. And these horned devils came out dressed like horned devils. Golly. And this woman's voice came, and she said, I am the goddess. And the screen, when she was, I want you. And everybody went, they went crazy when the goddess came out. They had real live actors. They had movies. They put it together. There's nothing like this. There's nothing. You can't go to any movie like this. It's incredible. And I thought, this is what they're doing now. This is our young people. Over 50% of the young people in America are unemployed. But they go to this thing. Their parents, their grandparents give them the money to go to this satanic demon festival. It's unbelievable. Now listen, I want you, if you have the opportunity, if you're able to do it, go Google it up, Tomorrowland. And you watch it for yourself. You tell me what you think it is. Okay? Tell me what's going on. And look at those satanic things. Please tell me. It's getting bigger every year. They're saying that in 5 years' time they could have a million or more people go to it. Well, down in Brazil, Bishop Adir Macedo, a bishop, yeah, that's right, he's a bishop, that's what he calls himself, with the Universal Church of the Kingdom of God. Now, I've never heard of that church, but it's a big church down in Brazil. Evidently has a lot of members who are billionaires, millionaires, going to it. The Universal Church of the Kingdom of God. Now, this bishop, this self-stated bishop, he got these rich people to build a giant temple in Sao Paulo, Brazil. It's a replica of Solomon's temple, the Jewish temple. It took 4 years to build and $300 million. It's gigantic. I got a picture of it here. It stands 18 stories high. It seats about 10,000 people. It's got a parking lot for 1,000 cars. It's got TV and radio studios. Classroom space for 1,300 students, a helicopter landing pad. Now, this guy, Bishop Adir Macedo, is a big media magnate, and he founded the Universal Church of the Kingdom of God inside a Rio de Janeiro funeral home. That's right. He founded his church inside a funeral home in Rio de Janeiro in 1977. It's 11 stories this temple takes up. It's got olive trees like the Garden of Gethsemane, more than 30 huge towering columns. And they say that all the world's religions may go in the temple and worship. All the world's religions. Unbelievable. Meanwhile, Israel has plans, big plans, Israel. They're getting sick of people criticizing their country and the Jews and their religion, Judaism. They've now got hundreds of agents watching the internet at all time. They say we're going to control the world's internet structure. We will counter criticism of Israel. We will punish anyone who opposes Zionism. The ones who are punishing aggression against the Palestinians, we will punish you. Wherever you're at, we're going to find out about you. Whatever website you're on, we're going to get you. Now, I want you to remember something, folks. This 2016 is the last year of United States control of the internet. The United States is turning, Obama did this now, on his own. He signed an executive order that turns the world internet and all the web pages in America over to the United Nations. They're going to control it now. Think about that. Suddenly Israel pops up and says, we're going to be watching the internet to make sure that nobody can criticize Israel. Oh, really? You sure criticize Christianity enough. You make fun of it. You mock it in every way. Can't you just see these spies? Hundreds, probably thousands of Jewish spies just looking for anybody that, on a chat page that says one thing about Israel. Then they're going to find out who that person is, and they're going to punish them. I don't know what they mean by punishing. I'm just telling you. That's what they're going to do. Just incredible, isn't it? Well, Iceland, let's return to a more pleasant place. You know, Iceland's a strange place. You know, it went bankrupt as a nation, Iceland did. And everybody said, well, now you're going to have to get with the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. I think it was about 5 or 7 years ago. And they told the Iceland people, you're in deep Dutch now. You're in deep trouble. You're going to have to get with the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and so forth, and borrow money from them. And they said, you're going to have to cut all the pensions of your people, all their retirement plans. And the interest rates on the money that they borrow is going to go up, up, up. And there's going to be massive unemployment. You're going to have an austere economy for many years. You're going to have to suffer. Well, the people of Iceland got together and they said, you know what? They say we owe this great debt. They say we've gone bankrupt. Who do we owe the debt to? To whom do we owe this big debt? Why are we now going to lose our pensions, lose our jobs? We're not going to be able to buy cars, houses, all that. Iceland's this little country, you know, but it's made of white people, mostly blondes and blue eyes and all that. Why are we going to have to suffer? Who owes us? Who do we owe this debt to? Oh, the World Banks. Oh. Now, the people of Iceland had a little thought come through their mind. It was this. Why should we pay this debt? It's the World Banks. We think they cheated us. Their interest rates were too high. That they've driven us into poverty. We're not going to pay. Well, the president of Iceland says, you will pay. And the equivalent of the Secretary of the Treasury, their finance minister, says, yes, you will pay. Now, Iceland's a country of, I think it only has about 7 million people. And they all had meetings and, you know, demonstrations and all that. And they all sort of got together. I'm just telling you sort of what happened. I'm giving to you in a nutshell very quickly here. They said, our president is a Jew. We're Iceland. Our finance minister is a Jew. But we're Iceland. What are we doing? Why did we elect these people? And so they fired them. They impeached them. They kicked them out of office. The president, the finance minister, all the other Jews in government said, you can't do this to us. We're your officials. They said, we've done it. And then they hired a new justice minister, a Gentile. And he investigated. He said, you know, the president's been taking money from the banks. The finance minister's been taking money from the banks. We've got a corrupt government. It's all corrupt. That's why we went bankrupt. They've been cheating us for years. And you know what? All the government officials were given trials and sent to prison. They were sent to prison. The Jews who ran the government were sent to prison. And the world government said, you're going to be in trouble now, Iceland. You've made us mad. We're going to make you pay us back. You're going to, and the people of Iceland said, we're not going to pay you back anything. We're going to start over. There has been a U.S. media blackout of Iceland. But I want you to go see if you can find it on Google. Iceland has forgiven all the debt of the people. People owed money on the cars, their education loans, their homes. They owed millions and millions, and it's all been forgiven. Now they're starting off fresh. They own their own homes. They own their own cars. And some of the businesses had to close, but then others started back up. Now they have Iceland banks. They don't allow Bank of America or Barclays Bank or HSBC or all the other rotten, corrupt banks. They don't allow them. It's got to be an Iceland bank. And the president is now an Icelander. And the finance minister is an Icelander. And the people have no debt, and they're more prosperous than they've ever been. In Hitler's Germany, he was elected. He didn't throw over the government. He was elected as chancellor. And within 10 years, Germany was one of the richest countries in the world. They had been so poor and poverty stricken because all the Jews owned the banks. All the Jews owned all the big corporations and businesses. But Hitler told them, get out of Germany. You've been cheating us long enough. And Germany became one of the richest countries on earth, prospering. They had Messerschmitt, the biggest aircraft manufacturer in the world. They had Volkswagen, one of the largest car manufacturers. And they built freeways, autobahns across Germany. Boy, Germany was prosperous. No wonder the Jews said, we're declaring war against you. Within a few years of Hitler taking over, they said, we can't let this continue. We can't let you prove that you can do without us. Now we have our Federal Reserve. And notice, take a dollar bill out of your pocketbook and notice it doesn't say U.S. Treasury note. It doesn't say good for a dollar in silver at your bank or for gold. It says Federal Reserve note. What in heaven's name is a Federal Reserve note? That means they own all the money. What is the Federal Reserve? You know, I did some research a few years back, and did you know they actually had an audit, a partial audit, back during the big bust here in America in 2007-8? Two congressmen got together, and everybody was so scared of the bust, and everybody was so frightened of what was going on. These two congressmen, one of them, Senator Bernie Sanders, bless his little socialist heart, he said, we're getting ripped off by the big banks. And there was a congressman named Ron Paul. He said, we're getting ripped off by the banks. And he and Sanders went together and they introduced legislation. Imagine. Ron Paul was working with a socialist senator on this project. The congressman and they got the Congress to actually force the Fed to have a partial audit. I got a copy of it. I wrote to Bernie Sanders and I said, send me a copy of that. He did. Bernie sent me a copy. Boy. Wow, is it amazing. They're not just giving money to banks. They gave free money to everybody. They gave money to corporations all over the world, to banks all over the world, not just to U.S. banks. This is the biggest scam going. Now we have Janet Yellen. She's the new chairperson of the Fed Reserve System. She's going to go to Congress this very week, my friends, because Congress wants to audit the Fed. She says, that cannot be. I gave y'all a partial audit. Some years ago, I got in trouble then. We can't do this. It will hurt us. It will hurt the Fed. You can't make us audit ourselves. What do you mean? Every agency in government should be audited about once every 5 years. And if you find deficits, we'll put people in prison and get rid of them. They did nothing to the Fed people. Nothing. Think about it. They took millions, billions, 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 gave it away to the whole world because the whole world was collapsing at that time. Remember that? 2008? The whole world was collapsing, but they kept it propped up with fake money. They printed billions, billions. And they gave it out like popcorn to the whole world. I've got the audit right here in this office. Bernie Sanders and Ron Paul got me a copy of the audit. And you know, I couldn't find it anywhere in the newspapers. What happened to that audit? I couldn't find Newsweek, Time Magazine, Wall Street Journal, New York Times. None of them had anything about that audit. It was covered up. Okay, we've done our audit. Here's your audit. Now, don't tell anybody we've been audited. Thank you, Ron Paul. Thank you, Mr. Sanders. Thank you, Iceland. Iceland is a perfect, I mean, think about it. They're threatening Greece right now. They say, Greece, you're right on the edge. We're going to get you. You're going to be bankrupt, and we're going to take away all your money. And you people around are going to be out of a job, and you'll have no money in your banks, etc. If I were the people of Greece today, I'd say, get out of my sight, you filthy, corrupt bankers. Start over again. Greece, have your own banks. Start over again. Well, then we won't get anything from other... Well, here in America, we don't need anything from anybody else. We'll go alone. We got enough oil to oil the whole world, to lubricate the globe. They're turning off the spigots of oil here in America. There's just too much. We're ingenious. We make all kinds of things. And people will have jobs once again. Now, I hope when Mr. Trump gets president, I hope he'll think about these things. He's a pretty smart man. We'll see. Hey, what did you think of that? The Iowa caucuses? It looked like they were pretty corrupt to me. But, you know, they seem to correct things and got things back on target in New Hampshire. Are the primaries rigged? Are they rigged? Do they control the voting, the Democrat and Republican parties? I'm sure they do. But, you know, it goes from state to state, whether, you know, how just how much they're rigged. But they are definitely rigged. Now, think about this. Is Hillary Clinton going to be found guilty of having top secret information without authorization on her home computer? That's another question people are asking me. Is she going to be indicted? Yeah, I think she might. But keep this in mind. The attorney general is Miss Lynch, a black woman. She's pals with Hillary. And did you know, on a good source, I have found out that Hillary Rodham Clinton meets, M-E-E-T-S, regularly with Barack Obama. They have breakfast together. You know, when you do breakfast with somebody, the fix is on, my friends. And I understand that she has phone calls to Barack Obama and that Hillary makes at least one phone call a day. No, she'll never be convicted. Obama's the one that's going to have to approve it. Miss Lynch is going to have to approve it. And if she's indicted, it'll be a wrist-slapping event. She'll go on. She'll get the nomination. Bernie, well, he'll be plowed under. Eventually, he'll be plowed under. It'll be sort of a bright light, so to speak. A socialist goes under, which is just as good. But Hillary, she's nothing. She's whatever Satan wants her to be. In fact, I remember Hillary's campaign slogan back when her husband was running. They said of Hillary at the Democrat Party convention, the most popular pin was of Hillary. And there was a picture of Hillary, and around it, it was printed these words, as bad as she wants to be. As bad as she wants to be. It was the most popular campaign pin at that convention. And that's what she does. She's stolen over $1.5 billion for Clinton Foundation. And her husband and her, they use it as a piggy bank. She is as bad as she wants to be. We've talked about a lot of things today. It's been great fun, hasn't it? And my prayer, dear friends, is you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.